Next up, we have Sean McKenna, the Principal Lead Program Manager at Kubernetes Service, which is Azure Kubernetes Service. He's going to talk about recent announcements and roadmap. So we can bring up Sean, who I hope is showing up back live.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hey, there you are.
Oh. You hear me okay?
Yes, yeah.
Perfect. So should I just take it away? I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. Yeah, so today you're going to talk about Kubernetes Service and roadmap.
And yeah. Yes. Yeah, so again, I'm Sean McKenna. I run the product team for AKS, and it's actually great that you showed in the last session, just towards the end there, some of the learning resources, because in my 30 minutes, we're not going to be able to cover everything required to learn Kubernetes. As suggested, it can take up to 50 days, although you can speed it up. So what I'm going to specifically focus on is some of the things that we've announced recently and some of the things that we have on the roadmap. So this is, I think, going to be more useful for folks who are already sort of following along with AKS, but maybe are struggling a little bit to keep up with the pace of announcements. So I'm going to highlight a few of the things that we've launched recently that folks aren't familiar with, may want to go take a look at.
Okay. Hey, Sean, we need you to share your screen so we can.
That's important. Let's do that.
So just while Sean's doing that, I will be sharing some links in the chat for viewers related to what Sean's talking about today. So take it away, Sean.
Cool. All right, so there's a whole bunch of recent announcements. This is probably over the last maybe 2 to 3 months, so fairly fairly recently. I'm going to dive into a few of these specifically and try and do some demos of some of these items. But I wanted to call out a few of the ones that I'm not going to go too much deeper on, but just kind of flag them for folks so they're aware. The first one is in top left there, AKS on Azure Spot. So people may be familiar with Azure Spot as a VM option. This is a way for you to pay less for your VMs, which is always good. And the deal that we make is you pay less, and in return, we are able to take that capacity back if we need it for somebody who's prepared to pay full price. So this actually works out really well with Kubernetes and containers, because typically your applications are built to be a little bit more resilient to interruption, and Kubernetes has this control loop desired state model that can deal with that churn and try to get you back to a good state as the compute comes back. So definitely something to look at for those workloads that can afford to be to have a little bit of that interruption. The next one I want to call out is confidential nodes in the middle towards the bottom. This is sort of an initial foray into this space of running containers and Kubernetes on trusted hardware. And basically what that means is that applications can have a set of memory within the hardware that is isolated even from higher privileged processes. And that includes processes that are running on the physical host. So the idea here is even, you know, though we're running in Azure, we're running all of that infrastructure for you. If you have really sensitive applications, you don't even want to trust us as the platform operators, you can run those applications in that trusted hardware in what's called an enclave. And this is really about bringing that now to Kubernetes. It kind of speaks to the idea of making Kubernetes a base compute platform for all types of applications and being able to leverage the broader set of infrastructure innovation that's happening within Azure. And then the last one is actually the one just below that, Kubernetes 119 GA. We take it as sort of a point of pride in the AKS team to try to keep up with the fairly frequent pace of releases from the upstream Kubernetes community. And that's really, the reason we do it is because there is so much great work that's happening upstream, not only from Azure engineers, but from the dozens, if not hundreds of companies and individual contributors who are participating in this incredible project. We want to make sure that the AKS customers can consume that value as soon as humanly possible. So we're trying to make those new releases available usually on the order of a few weeks in preview, and then shortly thereafter to GA within the managed offering. So you'll continue to see that type of pace from us going forward. So I'm going to dive into some of the specific announcements recently, but I want to kind of put it in a little bit of a framework in terms of how we're investing. And I'm going to talk about each of these in turn. So the idea of a more managed Kubernetes solution, security, which is obviously always critical, enterprise readiness, and then this notion of unified management. So we're going to step through each of these in turn and try to do some demos along the way. So the first is this idea of more managed Kubernetes. And Brendan actually alluded to this a little bit in his session, was the idea of, customers now are coming to Kubernetes and they hear about all of the power of the platform and the capabilities that it provides, but they also can be a little bit overwhelmed by the complexity, the learning curve, and just the number of things you need to be aware of as you're operating it. And so more and more, they're looking for us to provide a more managed solution, a more opinionated solution, one that comes with a set of guardrails and guidance for how to be successful. So there's a whole series of elements of this, including the GIF that's showing here on the screen is around integration with Azure Advisor to get some of those best practices recommendations. The thing I wanted to show today, which is a fairly recent thing that we've added, is what we call the Resource Explorer view. So this is within the Azure portal. You can go and see an AKS resource. And so this is what you would have been able to see for AKS resources for a while. But what we've added now is underneath here, Kubernetes resources. Let me see if I can zoom in on that. You can see we've added the notion of Kubernetes resources, which are not Azure resources, right? So these are Azure resources is the cluster and the VMs and the VNets and so on. Kubernetes resources are your namespaces, your deployments, your services, your pods. And so what we've done is try to blur that line a little bit so that you can now see those same set of resources, what you would have historically had to go to either the Kubernetes dashboard or to the kubectl CLI tool to be able to see. You can now see that directly integrated here in the Azure portal. So if I go into, say, services and ingress, that is going to load up the set of services that I have in this cluster. So here I've got the Azure voting application from our tutorial. It's showing me the IP address that was created for that. So I can just go ahead and pop that open, interact with this very complex and sophisticated application, and be able to directly see those resources right here. Now, obviously, that application, that service is being backed by a set of Kubernetes deployments and pods. So I can see that here under workloads and specifically that front end UI that you saw is being powered by this Azure Vote front deployment. So I can come in here and see that, and I can see the underlying pods that are powering that. And I can actually even see logs streamed directly from those pods right here in this experience. So I can just choose a particular pod that I want to see logs from. If I go back over here and do a little bit more interaction with the application, you'll see those logs are starting to stream in here directly from the Kubernetes API. And so all this data is point in time view, exactly what you would see if you were interacting with, in this case, the kubectl logs command with the kubectl CLI surfaced here. Now, obviously, since that's point in time, you're often going to want to look at some historical data and be able to see, okay, actually, I had an issue yesterday over the weekend. I want to be able to go back and see those logs, and maybe they've already been aged out from what Kubernetes is directly showing you. That's where something like Log Analytics can step in, and so you can see this helpful link right here that'll actually let me jump over to the Log Analytics view for that same pod and be able to see all of the logs here, which I can then do my very sophisticated Kusto queries on top of and look at logs that stretch back, you know, however long I've got logs maintained within Log Analytics. So a nice kind of seamless blend of that point in time observability view that is directly built in, and then the more historical view that you can get if you've adopted Log Analytics. Then the last thing here is that what I've shown so far is just kind of a read-only view. I can actually come in here and manipulate the YAML associated with that deployment. So change it from what I was at originally, which is one replica, go to three, and I can actually see, you know, similar to what you would see like in VS Code for making that change directly here in the UI, confirm that, make the change, and that's gonna go directly apply that at the Kubernetes API, and you can see it's already scaled out to an additional two pods within that deployment. You can see the associated event here. And so just a nice way to interact in a more visual form, like I say, similar to what you would do with the kubectl CLI, but directly here inside of the portal. So great learning tool, as well as for, you know, when you're doing some sort of poking and prodding on your cluster. So next up, I want to talk a little bit about security. This is a job that's really never finished to make the environment secure. It spans across a whole series of domains, from sort of the, you know, development time to moving into your CI/CD system, how you think about managing container images, doing scanning, how you control access to the environment, and so on. And Brendan alluded to a number of the investments here and things like pod identity. I'm going to talk today specifically about the investment that we're making in tying together the Azure RBAC system with Kubernetes. And so if you're you know, familiar with Azure and have been using it, you're probably familiar with the notion of Azure RBAC roles. You've got owner and contributor and reader and so on, and then a whole series of more granular roles associated with that. We've now integrated a set of built-in RBAC roles, as well as the ability to create custom roles within that Azure RBAC model in such a way that you can actually use it with your Kubernetes environment. So let me just quickly demonstrate how that looks. And this is sort of in the same spirit of what we just saw with the portal, which is starting to really blur these lines between the, you know, what's the Azure domain and what's the Kubernetes domain. Originally, they were sort of two islands. We're now trying to bring those closer and closer together. So what I'm going to do here is do an AZ AKS get credentials on a cluster called RBAC. And this is going to actually ask me to, because this is an AAD enabled cluster, so this is going to ask me to log in via AAD to authenticate I guess I've already authenticated. So if I hadn't already authenticated, it would ask me to, actually, I think it'll be part of. Yeah, so if I hadn't already authenticated there it is. Okay. Sorry, I lost a little bit of track of the flow here. So this is going to ask me to log in by AD to this cluster. And do that here. Okay, so that should be approved. And now if I go back over here, it's gonna go ahead and try to, now that it's authenticated me, it's gonna go ahead and try to query the Kubernetes API to get the list of pods in the cluster. And if all goes to plan, that should initially be denied. So there you go. So you can see that I actually don't have permissions to be able to, I've authenticated as myself, but I don't actually have permissions in the cluster to be able to pull the set of pods. And you can see it's giving me this error message here to say, okay, you gotta go ahead and get access, get authorized to be able to perform that action. So if I jump over here now to the portal, and here's that same cluster that we were looking at. If I go over to access control, and do add a role assignment. This is very familiar if people are used to the Azure RBAC model. This is where you would go and give access to various resources. So you can see here, there's a set of the AKS cluster roles that are really about how you interact with the AKS service, the AKS resource provider. But then you can also see these RBAC roles that we've introduced. And if you hover over the little information bubble here, you can see an explanation of what those roles actually imply. So in this case, I'm going to do reader access, which is going to give me basically read-only access to a bunch of the resources in the cluster. So go ahead and save that. It's going to add that role assignment here. And then if I go back over here and try again, now it's probably, in this case where I'm trying to get pods, it's probably still going to fail because it caches that particular request. It might take a few minutes for me to be able to actually pull pods. So I'll take a different resource here. So in this case, services, which will force it to do that role assignment check. And you can see there it's able to now pull that resource. And so that's integrated. Yep.
Sorry to interrupt. We're getting some feedback that your text is very small, kind of hard to read it. Can you bump that up a little bit on the brand in there? Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Cool. You can never know with these 4K monitors how it's going to turn out. So that's now blending that Azure RBAC model with the Kubernetes model. And where this really gets super powerful is obviously the Azure RBAC model is tied into the overall Azure resource model. And so in this case, this RBAC cluster is actually part of this LearnTV demo resource group. And so I can even go up here and do the same thing and provide that same reader role, which is right here, and give that to myself. And now that I've done that, actually, that role assignment is going to cascade down onto the other clusters in that same resource group. So this is a really easy way for you to manage, if you've got that hierarchy of resources, to now be able to give common access across, say, a set of clusters within a resource group or within a subscription, and have that, like say, all sort of cascade down to the underlying resources. So the third area is around this notion of enterprise readiness, and it's sort of a broad kind of topic, but it's about bringing the power of Kubernetes into the enterprise and being able to work with the set of controls and desires that customers have in that environment. And so the thing that I'm going to show today, which is a fairly recent release, is under the sort of sub section of cost optimization, which is a really big focus these days. Folks are trying to tighten up the budgets given some of the economic circumstances that are going on. And so one of the patterns that we saw from a lot of customers recently is people trying to figure out a way, hey, I've got all these clusters, dev test clusters or batch environments or what have you, that I don't use all the time. So I've got a fairly predictable usage pattern for those clusters. I want to be able to shut them down when I'm not using them. And so we saw people trying to do that in sort of ad hoc fashions. So we decided to just introduce that as a first class capability that we call AKS Start Stop. So this one actually takes a few minutes. I've got a demo video here that I'll speak to. The idea is I've got a cluster that's up and running that has a set of services. In fact, it's got that same Azure Voting app that we saw earlier. So this cluster's up and running. It's got a set of agent nodes running associated with it. I'm obviously being built for those agent nodes as they're running, right? And so now you can imagine I'm going home on Friday afternoon, and I want to be able to shut that cluster down because I'm not going to be using it over the weekend, right? So I want to shut these nodes that you can see here from the kubectl get nodes. I want to shut those down such that I can avoid that billing on the weekend and then be able to bring it back up on Monday. So I can do a fairly simple command here, AZAKS stop, provide the resource group and the cluster name. And that's going to go and start to shut down all the associated agent nodes, which you can see already happening there. I mean, it'll do a cordon and drain such that the workloads get shut down gracefully. Once all the agent nodes have been shut down, then actually we'll start to shut down the control plane as well. So the piece that's running on, within the managed infrastructure, that'll get quiesced as well, to the point where there's nothing running at all. But critically, we're actually maintaining all of the metadata that was in the control plane. So everything that was stored in etcd about what applications were running and the configurations of those applications, we maintain, we back it up, so that when you come back in on Monday and want to start the cluster back up, you can do just an AZ AKS start and have that cluster get fully rehydrated, which follows the same process in reverse. We'll get the control plane back up and running. We'll reprovision the agent nodes, which then we'll start the billing meters, obviously. And Kubernetes will then do its thing, which is following that control loop to go drive towards to the goal state that was defined in that metadata. And so once you've done that, then you can see the application comes back up and it's running as it was before. So the other way to do this, obviously, is to just completely delete the cluster and reprovision it from source. And that's certainly you should always be in a position where you can fully recreate your environment from source control. But the reality is there's often these kind of dev test environments, POCs, that type of thing, where you're still kind of tinkering with applications and you may not necessarily want to go back in all cases and be driving everything through CI. And yet you want to be able to get the cluster back up to a good state once you need to use it again. So just to kind of a nice little feature in the context of that larger sort of cost management umbrella that I mentioned. Then the last thing I'll just briefly touch on here, because I know Jason is coming up next to talk about Azure Arc. And so this is kind of a little bit of a segue, but we're trying to build a set of capabilities that tie together some of the capabilities that we have within Azure and the Azure resource model, things like Azure RBAC that we saw earlier, and bring those out to other environments beyond AKS. So again, trying to blur the lines between what you can do in the sort of first-class managed service with what you can do with any Kubernetes running anywhere, so that you can take a lot of those capabilities and the power that we bring to the managed service and bring some form of those out to the edge or to other cloud environments. Again, I think Jason's going to go much deeper on this topic. So wanted to kind of wrap up quickly with a set of things that we have on the roadmap, some of which are actually, I think, going to be touched on in other sessions today. So OSM, for example, I think Phil's going to talk a little bit about that, but we intend to integrate that into the service as our managed service mesh solution. We're going to be adding support for Hyper-V isolation for Windows containers, which is really important for that Windows solution, particularly around ensuring backward compatibility as you move forward between different Windows options. So there's a number of other items here that we'll touch on. Maybe the last one that I'll call out is actually in the bottom right corner. This notion of portal quick starts is an idea that we're working on to provide you. And again, this speaks to the idea of sort of best practices and easy to get started and more managed environment to provide you with some pre-configured templates, depending on what type of cluster you're planning to run, whether it's a dev test cluster or something that's going to be used for machine learning, for batch environments, for some large scale microservice type architecture, because there's a bunch of different configurations that we would change depending on that. And so if you can give us a little bit of a hint for what you plan to use the cluster for, then we can put you in a better state with respect to those best practices. So that's some of the kind of top level roadmap highlights. I also just want to do a quick plug for our presence on GitHub. We are trying very hard to be pretty transparent about both our roadmap as well as our releases. So if you go out here to the two links that I listed, you can see a fairly detailed roadmap of the things that we're shipping, you know, what's in GA state, public preview, you know, coming within the next kind of month or two, further back on the backlog. And you can also submit issues there as well that we'll take a look at. So definitely if you want to keep up with the service at a fairly detailed and granular level, that'd be a good place to do it, as well as to say, be able to see the release notes as we ship roughly every week with bug fixes and new feature capabilities. So definitely check that out. And then last but not least, a set of resources, some of which Ryan pointed to earlier, but a lot of great learning content out there, kind of regardless of where you are in your journey of learning Kubernetes and learning AKS, if you're brand new or looking for some of the more complex sort of best practices type topics, advanced topics. All of those are out there for you to take a look at. So definitely would encourage you to look at those. And that's basically it.
Thank you, sir. Sean, that was great. I do have a couple of things. I'll share my screen here. A couple of things that you just mentioned, I just wanted to highlight. We have a couple of minutes left. There is a learning path for Microsoft Learn, Introduction to Kubernetes on Azure, and I have posted the links for this in the chat. And basically, it just covers everything to know about Docker, Kubernetes, Azure Kubernetes Service, and what you can actually do with Docker and Kubernetes on Azure. So it's a pretty great learning path, very useful. Also, there's some great docs, and I've included a link there as well, Kubernetes core concepts, and there's a whole section in, if you go to docs.com, just search on Kubernetes, or you can look at the link I just shared in the chat, and that's there as well. But yeah, that's great. Thank you, Sean. That's fantastic. Do you have anything else you want to add on these on the docs or learn?
Yeah, just to highlight again that, you know, it is a process. You know, it's an important investment for people to make to ramp up on Kubernetes and then eventually, you know, the specifics of AKS. It is something that we think is worthwhile, but it's good to know going in that it is going to take some time, and that's okay. It takes everybody time to learn this stuff. And so you know, hopefully some of those resources that can take you step by step from the very basics to get you up and running with a single application to, like say, some of those really more advanced sort of day two topics it will allow you to ramp that at your own pace.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Next up, we have Azure Arc. It's recent announcements, Arc-enabled servers and Kubernetes. We're going to talk about GitOps as well with Arc and AKS. And as always, I had a few questions in the chat. Slides, demos, and links are going to be at AKMS, the Launch Space Kubernetes. I posted that in the chat a little while ago. I'll do it again in a minute. But you can find all the links and copies of the decks. They're not all there yet, but they will be. Anything else you might find useful related to these sessions, any of the links we're sharing today are going to be there as well. So AKMS, Launch Space Kubernetes.